Welcome to our Introduction to Mindfulness Meditation, our five-week series. So I'll just, I just wanted to start by asking you about your background. How many of you have no experience meditating? How many of you are completely new to meditation? Okay. And how many of you have practiced some form of meditation other than mindfulness meditation? And how many of you have been practicing this mindfulness practice? Okay, so most of you. Okay. So my name is Andrea Fella, and I've been practicing mindfulness meditation for about the last 8 years. And I was drawn very quickly into intensive practice found on the longer retreats. And I've done quite a bit of long retreat practice at IMS in Massachusetts. I've done the three-month course there several times. And I've also practiced in Burma. I was in Burma twice studying in a monastery there. So that's my background. And the basis for this meditation technique that I'm going to be talking about is based in the practices taught in Buddhist monasteries found in Southeast Asia, in particular in Burma and in Thailand. And they came to this country, these teachings came to this country through a few Westerners who went to study in the Southeast Asian countries and were inspired to bring the teachings back here. Those teachers, those main teachers are Jack Kornfield, Joseph Goldstein, and Sharon Salzberg were three of the early teachers who came back and founded the Insight Meditation Society in Massachusetts almost 30 years ago now. And they brought these teachings back. And the flavor of what I'm going to be teaching you is really the flavor that they've imbued it with. It's not being taught exactly as it's taught in Southeast Asia, as I now know personally. But I do feel that the flavor that Jack and Joseph and the other Western teachers have given is particularly helpful for those of us in this culture. So I'm going to base these talks on their techniques. So over these 5 weeks, I'm going to cover the basics of mindfulness practice. And we'll do this in a kind of a sequential fashion. And the basic instruction in mindfulness practice is to pay attention to what's happening. But that's kind of hard to do, to just sit down and pay attention to what's happening. So we start with something pretty simple. We usually start with the breath, learning to pay attention to the breath. And from there, we open it out to other objects of attention. So today, primarily, I'll spend talking about the posture, the meditation posture, and mindfulness of breathing, and a little bit about mindfulness in general. And then next week, we'll expand the instructions to include any bodily sensation that arises. And then the next week, on the third week, we'll start to include emotional experiences. And the fourth week, we'll start to include thoughts that arise in our meditation. And the last week, we'll talk about integrating the practice, taking the practice off the cushion and integrating it into our lives. So we'll just kind of expand over the weeks. It's kind of well known, I guess, that meditation has a lot of health benefits. It's good for stress relief. I mean, it's pretty fairly well documented that mindfulness, meditation in general, concentration practices, it's good for the heart, it's good for the gastrointestinal system, it's good for the nervous system. It calms the body, it calms the mind. And these are great reasons to meditate. But in addition, the practice that I'm going to be talking about, the mindfulness practice, has the ability to help us really deeply see into the way our minds function and what causes us suffering and stress in our lives. And with this practice, we can begin to see how we react to the events in our lives and how we add suffering to our own experience. We actually, the reactions that we have to our experience is a great part of the suffering that we experience in our lives. So this practice that I'm going to be talking about begins to open some space around our experience and helps us to begin to see how we can live our lives in a more fluid and relaxed way. And it can actually help us to see so deeply into the patterns of our lives that they actually become transformed, and our lives become transformed. This is actually a very transformative practice, very deeply transformative. So the heart of this practice that I'm going to be talking about is mindfulness. And a very simple definition of mindfulness is being aware of what is happening while it's happening. And it's got two aspects to it, the knowing what's happening while it's happening and a non-reactivity to what's happening. So this knowing what's happening while it's happening, and the while it's happening piece is crucial because I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with the situation where we're doing something, maybe somebody walks in the room, but we're reading our book. You know, we know that somebody's walked in the room, but we're really focused on reading the book. So there's a kind of a passive awareness of what's going on around us. The mind is not really focused on these other things. It's really focused on the reading of the book. So we perhaps know that we're reading the book while we're reading the book, but maybe later if somebody asked us, did somebody walk through the room while you were reading the book, you might be able to say, yeah, they did. They did walk through the room. And so there's a knowing that that happened, but it wasn't synchronous with the occurrence of the event. So it's the synchronicity of the knowing with the event that's the real crucial part of mindfulness, to bring those two together. And the non-reactivity is to find a place where we're not rebounding off of our experience. And in my experience, the actual knowing what's happening while it's happening and sustaining that over time is really the key to the non-reactivity. The knowing what's happening while it's happening is not some obscure or rarefied state of consciousness. It happens to us all the time. If we are washing our hands and the water suddenly gets hot, usually we know, oh, that's hot. And that's mindfulness. We know that it's hot while it's hot. It's not something we notice later. It's just a very, very simple aspect of the mind, this ability to know what's happening while it's happening. But what is unusual for us is to be able to sustain that. Usually it happens for a second, and then we're off in our thoughts about it, where we're, oh, how could I have been so stupid to have my hands under it? I knew it was going to get hot. So there's a reactivity that happens, and we live in that reactivity. So the ability to sustain over time, knowing what's happening while it's happening, to me has been the real key to cultivating the non-reactivity of what's happening. And we'll talk about this a lot over the weeks. So when we sit down to meditate, as I said earlier, the basic instruction for mindfulness practice is to pay attention to what's happening in the present moment. And if I were to just tell you to sit down and do that, I think most of you, I have the experience that as soon as I sit down, very often the mind is off. It's off planning, it's off remembering the past, it's off arguing with somebody or having a friendly conversation with another person. It really just goes away from the present moment so quickly. So that tends to be what happens when we sit down to try to meditate. What we actually start to see is the habits that our mind has. So the way we start to learn how to train the mind to be present for what's happening is to give it a task. And the task that we start with is mindfulness of the breathing, the sensations of breathing. And this has a couple of nice qualities to it. It is not actually just a beginning practice. It can take you, I am told, it can take you all the way to full enlightenment to simply pay attention to the breath. So it is the place we begin, but it can also be the place that we continue to cultivate our mindfulness and our wisdom is through the breath. And the breath has a number of really good qualities. Probably the first is that if you're paying attention to the breath, the sensations of breathing, you're in the present moment. The experience of breathing is always in the present moment. So that's the number one good reason to pay attention to the breath. Another reason is that it's kind of a neutral object for most of us. It's not something that we typically have a lot of reactivity around. Some people can have reactivity around the breathing. But for the first couple of weeks, I'd encourage you to try to stay with the breathing as a primary object. And if you feel like there's something that it just doesn't feel right about it, come talk to me and we'll try to come up with another object for you to focus on as a primary place to cultivate your mindfulness. Another good quality of the sensations of breathing is that it's cyclic. It changes. So it's easier to keep the mind on something that's continually changing than it is to try to just focus it on something that's just very static. And the cyclic quality is also a good bonus for this object. The fact that it each time you breathe in, there's a beginning, a middle, an end to the in-breath, and a beginning, a middle, an end to the out-breath. So it's got the cyclic quality. It happens over and over again, like the waves on a shore. But it's not easy. It's a simple description to pay attention to the sensations of breathing, but the mind has other ideas. I think you'll find when we do our first guided meditation in a little while. So we really have to be very patient with ourselves and very compassionate with ourselves about this process of learning to pay attention. Because as soon as we try to pay attention, one of the first things we'll notice is that we're not paying attention. I'd like to just tell a little story. Gil likes to say that mindfulness works even when it's not seeming to work. And he gives the analogy of looking at a stream, a forest stream, that's running, but very still on the surface, because probably there's no rocks or anything right at the surface. So it looks still on the surface. But if you take a stick and put the stick in the water, you'll start to see the ripples around the stick, the wake of the water, because the water is moving. So what the stick serves as is a point of reference to so that you can see the movement of the water. And likewise, what this practice of saying to ourselves, I'm going to come back and stay with the object of breathing, it serves as a stick. We try to pay attention to that, and what we notice is the wake. We notice when we're not doing that. So, but what we notice is our habits. We start to notice the tendencies of mind, and that's not a small thing, actually, to begin to notice how our mind functions. Actually, simply noticing, wow, it's really hard to pay attention. This is an insight. You know, a lot of us think we have control over our minds. We think we can say, okay, I'm going to sit down and do this work now, or I'm going to sit down and read this book now, and think we're focused on it. But as soon as we start to really pay attention to what our mind does, we realize we have very little control over the mind. It's really a creature of habit and impulse. So that's a good thing to notice. It's a little painful at times to see that, but it's a good thing to notice. So that's the overview of the 4 weeks and a little bit about mindfulness. I'd like to just mention that at this center, I don't know, how many of you have never been to this center before? Okay, not too many of you. But at this center, we operate completely on a donation basis. So there's no fee for this course. What we have is the donation system in Buddhist practice is called the Dana system. Dana means generosity in Pali. And we have a box just by the door. And you are, if you are so inspired, welcome to put a donation in the box. There are two slots, one for the operations of the center to cover expenses, the air conditioning, the lights, the process of just running the electricity, the process of running the center. The other slot in the box is for Teacher Donna, and that would come to me. So you're welcome to contribute or not as you are so inspired. That practice I'm also quite happy to be a part of, that the teachers who came back, Joseph and Sharon and Jack, when they first brought these teachings back, decided to try this teaching on a Donna basis. And the teachings pretty much across the board in the Vipassana meditation community are taught freely. At the retreat centers in general, there is a fee to cover the cost of running the retreat, but the teachers are not paid by the retreat center for their work. It's all done by donation. And I'm really happy that at this center we've expanded it to include that everything is by donation. So are there any questions about the logistics? Yeah.
Can you make donations by check?
Yes. Okay. So before we do our first guided meditation, I'd like to talk a little bit about posture. So any of you who are in chairs who didn't bring a cushion and are interested in trying sitting on the floor, all these cushions in the back here are freely available. So if you'd like to try sitting on the floor, you're welcome. And if you are on the floor without a cushion, please go ahead and get one. So mindfulness practice can be done in any posture. And the Buddhist tradition says there are four classic postures: sitting, standing, lying down, and walking. And we can meditate in any of those positions. But for the sake of beginning meditation practice, it's often helpful to have a still posture. And we do have a formal walking practice at times, particularly if we're doing a day-long retreat or a longer retreat. There are periods of walking meditation interspersed with the sitting meditation. And there are specific instructions for the sitting meditation. But I'd recommend that that you work with a still posture, especially initially. So another point about the still posture is that it's helpful to have an upright posture. The lying posture is very challenging to meditate in because we typically, when we start to relax and breathe, if we're lying down, we'll just fall asleep. I've actually done quite a bit of meditation on my back because I have a back injury. So if any of you would like to speak to me about meditation lying down, I'd be happy to do that. So most people tend to either stand or sit. And actually of those, if you stand, you tend to tire easily. So the sitting posture tends to be the one that most people choose for their meditation. It's helpful to have a balance between alertness and relaxation. And the sitting posture is pretty good for that, too. We can be alert in our upper back and yet relaxed around the spine. So if you're sitting on the floor, you can either do the cross-legged posture or this kneeling posture, as I'm doing here. And you can experiment. Oh, and there's also benches. There's a few benches around. You can try the benches. I think there's a bench back in the corner if anybody wants to try a bench. And the kneeling posture is great if the hips aren't flexible enough to turn out, or you've got some injuries perhaps that the cross-legged posture is painful with. So you can experiment with different heights of the cushion. Sometimes if your knees are up, it can be helpful to have a slightly more elevated posture. So for example, you know, if you're sitting, it's best actually if you can get the knees down on the floor. And this can be done by rocking forward like this and sitting a little bit forward on the cushion. And if you can't get your knees all the way down, sometimes elevating, having a little bit more height, can be helpful. If one knee goes down and the other doesn't, then you might want to try propping it up, like, you know, put something underneath like this. That way we have a really stable three-part triangle to rest the weight. It's very, very stable. The cross-legged posture is a very wonderful posture to meditate in. It's not one that I can use for more than about 5 minutes anymore, but if you can do it, it's really a great posture because it's so stable. You can really relax the upper body around the cross-legged posture. This kneeling posture, and you can also kneel on a cushion. These cushions are great because you can use them in so many ways. So I put it on its side like this and just sit with it between my knees. So that's another way you can sit. If you're sitting on a chair, it's helpful if your feet are on the ground. If you find yourself with your legs dangling a little bit, you might want to take a cushion and put your feet on the cushion so your feet are supported and not dangling. And it's also helpful to not have the knees higher than the hips. That tends to push you back a little bit in a chair and can collapse the lower back. The idea is to have as neutral a spine posture in the spine as possible, so that basically the spine is aligned and everything can relax around the spinal column. And in a chair also, if you're sitting in a chair, it's helpful, if possible, if your back is not injured, to sit forward a little bit and find that posture where the lower spine is curved and the upper body is free, not leaning back. It helps promote the alertness if the spine can be unsupported. You may find that bringing a rolled up towel or something to put right behind your lower back is helpful. Sometimes I find that to just like roll something up and then prop it right behind the lower back and rest that against the chair so that the upper back can be free. So the alignment, there's a little trick that's helpful for both a chair and on the floor. If you're on a chair, you can push up from just the side, and on the floor as well. It's easier to do cross-legged. You could do it on your bench by pushing on the side of the bench. But basically, you just push up and let the spine lengthen, and then just let the spine let yourself down in as natural a way as possible. And often that gets you to the place where the spine is just aligned, and of letting the force of gravity pull the spine down and find its alignment naturally. It's helpful to have the shoulders back, but not arched back, just back and relaxed as opposed to caved in here. So shoulders up. The hands, it's helpful to have the hands in a symmetrical posture. Here, like this. On your knees, up if you prefer. One thing that I find helpful, particularly in this kind of posture, is to have something to support my hands, like this, because that helps keep the shoulders in balance, especially in a kneeling posture. There's a tendency to kind of fall forward in the kneeling posture, and this helps to keep the body upright. It's like the third point of the triangle almost. So that's helpful either if your arms are short. Sometimes it's helpful also in the cross-legged posture as well. The head should be balanced. You could try just seeing if you can find the kind of natural balance point of the head on the neck. And I was a dancer for many years, and one of the things they told us was to lift behind the ears. And that's kind of a nice feeling, just lift behind the ears. It opens up a little bit of a space in the back of the neck. Generally, the eyes are closed with this technique, although there are times when we meditate with our eyes open, especially if sleepiness has come in. And the tongue and the mouth should be relaxed as possible, closed, but relaxed, teeth, you know, not clenched together. And the tongue hopefully relaxed also. So that's maybe a lot to think about, but basically the idea is alert and relaxed. So are there any questions about posture, anything that I've just talked about? Okay, we're going to start a guided meditation, and I'd like to offer, if you'd like to stand up for a minute to stretch your legs before we sit. We'll be meditating for about 15 minutes. It'll be a guided meditation. So you can start by taking a few minutes to settle yourself into a posture. It's helpful to take some time, especially initially, to find a posture that works. And gently close your eyes. It's helpful to start a period of meditation with some setup exercises to remind yourself what you're going to be doing and to relax yourself. So let's start by taking a few long, slow, deep breaths. On the in-breath, connect to the body and a sense of presence of being here. And let go and relax on the out-breath. Use this deep breathing as a reminder to be present of what you're going to be doing, to train your mind to be in the same place as the body. Now you can let your breathing return to normal. Mindfulness meditation is not a breathing exercise. We try to simply watch the breathing as it is. As a second setup exercise, it can be helpful to spend a few moments scanning through the body for places of tension and letting go of that tension. So we'll start at the top of the head and let go of any tension in the crown of your head, in your forehead, around your eyes, down the back of the head and behind the ears. Let go of any tension around your mouth, in your jaw, let go of tension in your neck and inside your throat. In your shoulders. Down the arms to your hands. Let go of any tension in your rib cage and upper back. See if you can relax your abdomen. Let your belly be soft and relaxed and hang forward a little bit. Let go of any tension in your lower back, in your hips and pelvic cavity. Let go of tension in your thighs and knees. In your shins, calves, ankles, and feet. Now take a few moments to feel your body in its entirety with a wide attention. Now within the body, within the field of the body, become aware that you're breathing. Notice how your body feels the breathing. What sensations tell you that you're breathing? You might feel sensations in your nose. In the back of your throat. In your mouth. You might feel sensations in your chest, the expansion and contraction of your chest. Or you might notice the rising and falling of the abdomen. Wherever you notice the sensations most clearly, let your attention rest in that place. See if you can let yourself rest with the rhythm of breathing in and breathing out. Thank you. If you find the mind has wandered, relax. And simply see if you can return to the sensations of breathing. Sometimes it can be helpful to use a very gentle mental label for your experience. Label in when you're breathing in, and out when you're breathing out. This is using a very simple thought to help the mind to stay present for what's happening. If you find the mind is wandering, it can help to acknowledge it, thinking with the same quiet mental label. And then let go of the thinking and return to the breathing in. for the last minute of the sitting. See how closely you can pay attention to the breathing. Breathe in and out as if it was the most important thing you could do with this minute. So how many of you noticed that the mind wandered?